A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in
concentrate
time
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 315. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Him. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Him was a three-part ITV drama from 2016, three episodes of about 45 minutes each, in which a troubled teen develops telekinetic powers. And of course, in doing so, it becomes a big question as to whether he can control these powers and what's happening to him, while all around him, his families seem to be dissolving. So there's a certain amount of chaos in his family life for him to deal with, as well as the struggle to control powers.
Yes, absolutely. And his interactions with family members and other people in his community become quite key to this, of course. So getting into the setup, we have a troubled 17-year-old who is struggling to control his unusual power that he seems to have inherited from his father's family, from his grandfather. And at the same time, he's dealing with his family life being turbulent. His parents are divorced, and he's dealing with things going on with both parents and both households. He's having school problems and dealing with sort of problems of adolescence with these powers laid on top.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot going on for the title character in this show. And of course, this family drama sort of plays out across two family homes. There's his school we've mentioned. There's various coffee shops and parks around and about that he sits and chats with friends and relatives, or maybe doesn't. And of course, there's the therapist's office, because as we've said, and we'll probably say quite a few times, this is a teenager with some emotional difficulties who is somewhat troubled. And so he is seeing a therapist who will hopefully help him to control things as his various abilities become more and more obvious.
Absolutely. So we're taking a lot of sort of fairly realistic kinds of issues, but adding this power of telekinesis that is quite powerful indeed into the mix.
Absolutely, yes. Interesting stuff. So let's run through the characters. The title character, or Him, who isn't named, played by the young actor Finn Whitehead, who you may have seen on the big screen in Dunkirk, but probably when this episode comes out, the thing you've seen him in most recently is he is the main protagonist in Netflix's Black Mirror film episode Bandersnatch, which I guess a lot of our listeners will probably have seen, Brian.
Yes, this was the interactive film that allows you to make choices and things are reflected in the film you're watching.
Indeed, yes. And of course, we've talked about some of the early seasons of Black Mirror before. But anyway, getting back to Him, he is, as we've said, the very definition of a teenager struggling with modern life, with his emotional problems. And that the added problem, of course, that when he gets angry, certain bad things do have a tendency to happen around him, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And they made this clear decision that this central character would not be named.
Indeed. We'll get into some of the reasons for that in a little while.
Absolutely. Faith, played by Simona Brown, is his stepfather's daughter, so his stepsister, who joins him in his year at school and also is moving in with them at home. And this draws the attention of several boys in their age group at school and draws the attention of the main character as well. And the relationship between the two of them is something that is quite key to this drama.
Yes, and I believe she is the character who does some of the narration that we hear in this show, I think, Brian.
Yes, she does. It's sparsely used narration, but it does bring an interesting perspective to it.
And we've mentioned that he splits his time between his two family homes. So he has his mother, Hannah, played by Catherine Kelly, who you may have seen as Miss Quill in the Doctor Who spin-off Class. Here she is playing his mother, divorced, starting a new family with her new partner, who has his own daughter, as we've said. And, you know, that's one of the homes that he will sort of flit between, I guess.
Yes, that's the home where he's actually living and making his life there. But we also have Edward, played by James Murray, who is the main character's father. And he is a doctor, a surgeon, and seems to be rather arrogant a lot of the time. And he also has a new wife who is expecting twins. So we have both parents have remarried and either have new children because the mother and stepfather have a younger son as well, or you have with his father, they have a child and are expecting twins. So there are all these younger children coming into the mix. And these blended families are a big part of this.
Indeed they are. And I suppose the other big part, as we've said, is that he is in a therapy or situation. So Ross Brody, played by Alec Newman, is the therapist, who I guess thinks for most of this series that he's dealing with, as we've said, fairly typical teenage angst and emotional difficulties. And perhaps doesn't realise, I think, certainly for the first sort of episode and a half, what the main character means when he refers to losing it or losing control. We know, but the therapist, I think, is assuming he's just having sort of mood swings and anger tantrums. He doesn't realise we're talking about telekinetic powers, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. Rose, played by Susan Jameson, is the main character's grandmother, his father's mother, and she is living in a care home, so the main character comes to visit her on a number of occasions. And along with Ross Brody, the therapist, she is a sympathetic adult as well. And she knows about these powers. She knows that her husband had these powers and it skipped a generation. So she is sympathetic, but she also helps to bring some information and some context to where this is coming from.
Yes, and she's a nice character, and the relationship between him and his grandmother is quite nice and touching. It's well done, and I like Susan Jameson. I think I'm most familiar with her from playing one of the wives in the series New Tricks, but yeah, she's a lovely little sort of performance here, I think.
Yes, absolutely. So getting into a bit more of the story, Faith, as we said, narrates some of the sequences and tells us about some of the difficulties that the main character is going through, and we get lots of this family drama with him not being very welcome in his parents' house when it's not the sort of assigned times that he's supposed to be visiting. His father's wife, who I guess his stepmother, they don't refer to her as a stepmother, but she is not particularly welcoming towards him. And we get a lot with that, with these sort of tense family situations.
We do indeed. There's a lot of family drama going on as he, as I say, moves between two sort of households, never really feeling, I guess, at home in either of them, it would seem, Brian, unfortunately.
There's a certain amount of that, yeah.
And of course, we've got the action sequences because, as you've probably guessed, the title character can move things with the power of his mind alone. And we see him doing some neat little magic tricks, which he amuses his contemporaries at school with. But of course, he also uses his power when he gets angry, sometimes with very unpleasant results. And particularly when he's having to sort of strain to do more than sort of as I say, simple magic tricks. If he's having to move something big or do something more impactful, we get what is, I guess, a quite familiar trope. We get the psychic nosebleed, as it's referred to on a comics blog that I read, Brian. But we've seen it crop up in other TVs and films, I think.
Yes, I'm sure it's something I've seen in a number of other things where this intense event involving psychic phenomena leaves the person at the center of it, the cause of it, with a nosebleed.
Yeah, I've certainly seen it in the X-Files. As I say, it's a very familiar comics trope. If our listeners can fill us in on a few other TV shows and films where you see the psychic nosebleed, do please let us know.
Yes, that would be lovely.
And of course, we're wondering, apart from wondering about nosebleeds, we're wondering, can the title character ever be happy in this show? Or is he heading towards some sort of huge disaster-like ending? Possibly, dare we say it, Brian, like a certain film and book called Carrie.
Yes, you definitely have some allusions to that, I think. And as we go, it's really only his grandmother and his therapist who seem to be able to understand him, not just in terms of these telekinetic powers, but also in terms of emotionally what he's going through and these sort of adolescent things that he's dealing with. He isn't getting a lot of support outside of what he gets from his therapist and his grandmother.
No, this is true. He's not getting a lot of extra help anywhere else, unfortunately. As you say, his stepsister seems supportive and sort of friendly with him at first, although she becomes slightly suspicious about what's going on as the series progresses.
Yeah, and there is definitely an interesting dynamic there, and he gets some support from her, but doesn't get understanding from her, which is interesting. I like some of the character dynamics there. In any case, we should get into our production notes. Him was created by Paula Milne, the writer of the nursing drama Angels, and also The Politician's Wife, Small Island, and The Night Watch.
And I think The Night Watch, if I remember correctly, has the actress Anna Maxwell-Martin in it, who you probably know, Brian, because she's sort of one of the leads in that series, The Bletchley Circle.
Oh, yes, of course, right.
And turning back to Paula Milne, after I've sidetracked her slightly, Paula Milne has said in interviews that she was inspired by Stephen King's Carrie. She wanted to see how a teenager with telekinetic powers would deal with perhaps some of the difficulties of modern family life, although you probably remember that Carrie had her own particular family problems as well, I seem to recall, Brian.
Yes, in this case, the idea of these, what we think of as more modern situations of having the divorces and remarriages and the blended family there, Milne wanted to bring those things into focus with this supernatural teenage drama.
Yes, but she wanted to change it to a teenage boy because she was interested in the sort of difficulties that teenage boys experience in modern life. And also, she made this rather interesting decision to leave the main character nameless so that he becomes just the sort of single everyman character, the him of the title. We never learn his name at all, Brian.
Yes, I think that worked pretty well, quite seamlessly in the show itself, but it does make it a little tricky for us to talk about it.
Yes, we have to keep saying the title character or him or this troubled teen, I guess.
Indeed. The series was directed by Andy Diamini, who also directed The Bletchley Circle.
Oh, there we are.
Indeed, the show that we haven't covered here, but one that I like a lot. And the John Hurt version of Whistle and I'll Come to You, which we have covered here, and certainly was a very well-directed show.
Yes, it was a show that I did like a lot as well, even though it had some criticisms. But yeah, very interesting.
And they decided they would go with his powers being shown by the objects moving around and by his nosebleeds. And they use a few sort of set piece stunts, but they don't add any computer graphics for things like that. They just have the actual motion of things and the nosebleed, which was a fairly minimal way of showing it, which was nice.
Yes, and it does, I mean, it does mean that the effects are all great. They're all pretty seamless. You know, there's no part of the effects that look at all dodgy in this, Brian. Moving stuff around, obviously, you know, something that they can manage on set, it would seem.
Yes. Him was broadcast on ITV weekly from October 19th to November 2nd of 2016.
And that's about it. Strange for a modern show that we haven't been able to find out much more detail about its creation and production. But there you go. It is certainly out there. And of course, we turn to availability and how you can watch it. As ever, we start with Region 2, where it is a DVD, which is available for about £16 currently. But this is a show that I watched on streaming on Amazon, where I got the £4.99 SD version, which is a bargain. Or there is a $6.99 HD version as well. So there was no extras, obviously, on the digital version. And I'm not aware if there are any extras that perhaps I should have watched on the DVD. But anyway, certainly very easy to get hold of and watch on streaming, and quite, you know, a reasonable price, I think, over here in Region 2, Brian. Across there in Region 1...
In Region 1, it's actually fairly similar. There is a DVD available, $16 US or $17 Canadian on Amazon. And in the US, you can get it from Amazon Video as well as downloads. It's $6 for the high definition version and $5 for the standard definition version. And this one is also available streaming on BritBox. BritBox is the joint venture by the BBC and ITV for distributing their content on a streaming service in the US initially, and it has been extended to Canada as well. And Him is available as part of that streaming service. So I was able to watch Him on BritBox.
And that's fascinating. I mean, as you said before we recorded, Brian, this is a modern show. So thankfully, we've got lots of modern ways to watch it. And of course, BritBox is apparently coming over this side of the Atlantic as the BBC and ITV look to move into more streaming services over here as well. Presumably, I don't know if it will in part replace iPlayer or the ITV hub. We shall find out, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. But it's nice to know we have some pretty good availability on this show in both Region 2 and in Region 1.
And both reasonably priced, it would seem.
Certainly on the downloads, absolutely. So next time, we will continue to look at this mix of telekinesis and teen drama and family drama.
We will indeed. We will, of course, chat about some other teenagers with powers. We'll mention Carrie again, probably. We might even get to the X-Men and maybe some other shows that we've actually covered here on British Invaders as well. So some interesting little comparisons to make when we come back, Brian.
Absolutely. There's plenty to talk about. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group, and we always have lots of fun discussions going on there.
And British Invaders is also part of the Voice of Geeks network. You can find out more about us and all the other parts of the Voice of Geeks at vognetwork.com.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also saying goodbye.